Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelia along with Jeff Palermo. Herb had a little engagement, so to speak, that he had to coordinate today. So Jeff fill in. Jeff does a great job with us each and every week. And so glad to have you here, Jeff. We're at 3535 Perkins Road, Acme Oyster House. Come on by and visit us. Got a nice crowd here. Got a lot of great food, drink specials. If you want to watch the game, like a lot of people are watching Florida and Ole Miss right now, and surprisingly, Florida 24-17 over Ole Miss. And man, if you thought Ohio State and Indiana was going to be close, I guess that went wrong too. Ohio State is absolutely blowing them out. We also want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction, Map Build, Build Beyond. Do a great job of sponsoring the show each and every week. Jeff, again, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. And before we get into LSU stuff, how surprised are you, Florida here?
Yeah.
Man, they didn't quit on Billy Napier.
No.
You got to give the Gators credit. No matter how this game turns out, they didn't quit on Billy, and they've got a 24-17 lead. I think if my eyes are good enough, a little over 7 minutes left in the game. And Ole Miss has had chances.
Right.
Florida defense has been the surprise to me.
Yeah, there was a 4th-and-1, I think, at the 10-yard line at Ole Miss. Didn't convert, and now Ole Miss has just got a punt because Jackson Dart got sacked. But, yeah, give all the credit to Billy Napier here, because when you play Georgia and Texas back-to-back, that's going to break your soul as a football team. And that's why I was thinking last week that LSU can go into Gainesville and win by 2 touchdowns. I honestly thought LSU can win by 2 touchdowns. This was a get-right game for LSU, and they obviously came up very small in that game. And you know, Florida probably gained a lot of confidence in beating LSU last week. And this just shows you in the Southeastern Conference. I mean, it's, you know, other than maybe playing Mississippi State and Kentucky, even though Kentucky beat Ole Miss on the road, there is no gimmies in this league at all. And this is a tough test for Ole Miss to go on the road at 11 a.m. kickoff and try to beat a Florida team that all of a sudden feels a little rejuvenated. And they have a quarterback that I think they really believe in, too, in DJ Lagway, and that really helps as well, Mike.
Yeah, they always did have this year a good running game.
Yes.
Now, the passing, it wasn't good, and they couldn't protect. Well, they couldn't protect Graham Mertz at first.
Yeah.
Then Lagway gets in there. They couldn't protect him. But that has grown really well. The surprise to me is, man, that defense was plumb bad all year long.
Right.
And now all of a sudden now, what they did against LSU in the second half, they squeezed LSU, forced them to kick field goals, and the way they've played a very high-powered Ole Miss team, man, that defense has really come around over the past few weeks.
No, it certainly has. It certainly has. And all the credit to Billy Napier. I mean, this is by far the toughest, one of the toughest schedules in all of college football, considering who they've played. And, I mean, they hold on here. That's going to get them what? That'll get them six wins, I think.
And then
And then they got Florida State. They'll beat them. They'll end up winning seven games out of that. And that's considering where they were, considering they had to go play a third-string quarterback for a couple games. They played, as I mentioned, Georgia and Texas back-to-back. Kudos to them, no doubt about it.
You and I were talking about this. And many people were trying to figure this, that a ninth SEC game.
Yeah.
Man, after you cannibalize one another this year, I'd vote against that. I don't want to play another SEC team.
No, and especially when you look at it, like Indiana, even though they're getting smoked here by Ohio State, and it's just crazy that like teams like Indiana, Penn State, they've played no. I mean, Indiana and Penn State, the only – teams they've played, or the only team they've played that's really good is Ohio State, and both of them lost. But yet they are ranked higher than the Tennessees, than the Ole Misses, than the Alabamas. And there's no doubt that Alabama, Tennessee, and Ole Miss are better than Indiana and Penn State. And somehow the Big Ten has figured out with their scheduling is somehow, even though they're a 16-team league, and there's some good teams in that league, and I understand Washington's down, Michigan's down, there's several programs that are down that are normally usually pretty good, but somehow their teams in that Big Ten are not playing anybody good. And when the college football playoff selection committee, they're just ranking it. They're being very lazy, Mike, and I hope when the final ranking comes out, they actually put some work to it, because all they're doing is, okay, who has zero losses? Okay,
exactly.
We'll put them at the top. Who's got one loss? All right, we'll put them here. Who's got two losses? Okay, we'll put them there. They're not even looking at how the teams are comparing. Hopefully, when they have to actually put together the 12 teams that are going to be in, that they look at it, and if there's a two-loss SEC team that is, or even a three-loss SEC team, they should get the nod over a two-loss or a one-loss Big Ten team.
See, Archie Manning told me this in the summer, and he was like, Mike, I really think we are living in this world where a three-loss SEC team, because of schedule, strength of schedule, and how they finish, they'll get in before a Big Ten team who has a better record. I think what Archie says, I think is absolutely going to happen at this point.
Well, I hope so. I hope the selection committee is – because right now that's not how they're doing it.
No,
it's not. They could be just lazy. They're just throwing 12 teams up there just because they have to. But when they really have to sit in that room and take a look at it, it's just some of these Big Ten – like Penn State is just – they're not one of the 10 best teams in the country. You can't convince me of that. Indiana, it's been a fun little ride. This has been great. It's been fun watching them, and game day's been there and all that. You love seeing some new blood, but they haven't played anybody.
No. My thing is, I was talking to Timmy Brando about this, and he said, Mike, I agree with you. The top of the Big Ten, they could compete in the SEC.
Yes, yeah.
You think about Oregon?
Yes.
Ohio State?
Yes.
Penn State?
I'd be a little even iffy on Penn State, but yeah, I
think
see what
those three teams could be very, very in the mix in the SEC.
Yeah,
but where I feel as though the SEC has it better,
right?
The middle and the bottom, man. Because other than what, like you said, Mississippi State and Kentucky this year,
yeah,
man, they would Texas A&M or Tennessee against USC.
Yes,
come on, against Michigan.
Yeah.
They win in those games.
Right, right.
And by more than a touchdown.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. I forgot about Texas A&M. They're another team that, you know, there's a good chance they'll probably lose against Texas next week. But they're a two-loss team that certainly is much better than Indiana or Penn State or some. So, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Penn State got to win a big game before they start putting up the banner.
Like they're going out tonight. They're playing at Minnesota, I think, or maybe it's in the afternoon. And it's okay. They got to go on the road and they got to travel a little bit. But, I mean, that's not a quality win. And yet they're. And they were showing it today on ESPN Game Day. All these SEC teams in that quarterfinal round, Mike, they're going to be on the road, and they're going to have to go to Big Ten teams at home if it plays out like it's playing out now. Now, it could change. We got a couple more weeks left here. But
the equalizer, Jeff, I think, may well be weather.
Yeah?
Are we talking about December weather here?
Right, oh yeah.
How you will play in those environments.
Right.
Because I know in doing shows – out on the West Coast before the season started, a lot of them were, man, wait till USC and UCLA got to play in one of these snow games or what we saw Cleveland play Pittsburgh.
Right.
And one of that, man, okay, you're not used to that of environment. Or if it's like 12 degrees.
Yeah, right.
Okay, man, give me that trip to L.A. it's pretty nice over there.
Yeah.
But I think that may be the equalizer. When you're playing a better team, when the weather's not going to be right for you.
Yeah. No, that will be very interesting. And Desmond Howard brought up that point. He's like, if the season ended now and if you went with the college football playoff rankings that came out last Tuesday, you would have several teams, Alabama and them, having to go up north and play, and you don't know what the weather's going to be like that weekend of December 19th and 20th.
Looking at this game, do this real quick before we go to break, against Vanderbilt. Man, before the season started, man, you put a W by this and said, okay.
Yeah.
But, man, I got to give it to Vanderbilt. They a scrappy bunch.
Yeah.
Clark Lee has squeezed every bit of vitamin C out the orange, what he's got. And he's got a relatively young team other than in the secondary. Mm-hmm. He's got some older guys there. This is a young football team. And you got to get, man, you can't get in Vanderbilt with no expired driver's license. No, you got to be academically at another level to get there. Man, Clark's done a fantastic job, which at one time was kind of a sinkhole. If you coach at Vanderbilt, you either going to get fired or you're leaving for a better job.
Yeah.
That's what Franklin did.
Right, James Franklin, yeah. No, it's been they've been one of the big surprises in all of college football. And what they do is they don't beat themselves, right? They've only turned it over six times all season.
That's unreal.
Unbelievable. Six times all season. They've committed I think they're tied with Auburn, I believe, with the fewest penalties in the SEC. So they're not beating themselves. When they get in the red zone, they score, something that LSU doesn't – they score a touchdown, something that LSU struggles with. And they just – there's nothing very – when you look at them, and even when you watch them play, Mike, there's nothing like that really – jumps off the page to you. Now, Diego Pavia is a really good quarterback, and he is a running quarterback, which is obviously bad news for LSU.
Yep.
And the other thing about him is this guy is a natural-born leader, and the team is rallying around this guy. This guy's got moxie. This guy's got passion, and I think it's filtered throughout the entire team. And that's why this game is just, to me, I think for LSU, you almost would rather play Ole Miss tonight, right, or someone like that. This is a bad matchup for LSU because you're facing a running quarterback and you're facing a team that is hungry. And I don't know where LSU is here mentally. I can't – I mean, they're – Will.
I don't think anybody does.
I know Will Campbell came out and said all the right things earlier in the week, but we're not going to know until about – the game kicks off at 6:45. We're not going to really know until around 8 o'clock tonight. Where this team is mentally.
I was doing a SEC show, and they asked me, okay, Mike, you good on comparisons. Who would you compare Diego Pavia to? And I was like, you know what? This is going back a few years now. He reminds me of Billy Kilmer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just a tough, tough guy. Now, sometimes the ball, when it comes out of his hands, it looks ugly.
Yeah.
Sort of like what Billy was.
Yeah.
Billy would run just like what Pavia would do, and it's like, whoa. And it was like, okay, thinking back, there is some similarities there. They're built a little bit differently. But the toughness.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to quit. And you're going to have to kill me to beat me. I think that's what you see in Pavia.
He has not thrown the ball very well the last 3 weeks.
No.
The completion percentage is think I got it up on my article. I can't remember what I put it on there. But the last 3 weeks have not been very good. My article over on WWL.com. But they're coming off a bye week, too. That's another thing that makes this just kind of a bad matchup for LSU. He's probably a little bit more rested, pretty excited. I mean, Clark Lee talked about it this week about getting the opportunity, playing in Tiger Stadium. I don't know how much energy and juice is going to be inside Tiger Stadium tonight. But still, this team's coming in here fired up to play. And if LSU is not, they're going to lose their fourth straight game.
And to say you lose it to Vanderbilt, man, and in a week where you lost the number one rated high school quarterback in the country. Now, again, cash talks. This ain't about people are trying to blame Brian Kelly and all this. Come on, this is about money. Cash, dead presidents printed on paper.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about with Bryce. So, listen, he's a capitalist and so am I. I understand that situation completely. How you handled it and how he handled it, I think, was bad. How he handled it, come on, you should have, from what I'm hearing, he didn't even tell the LSU people he was doing this, that they were out of the loop. Come on, you got to handle that, you know, like a grown.
Well, that, and you hear from his family this whole time about, hey, this isn't about NIL. You hear from his dad. My son's not out there for the NIL. He wants to come to the SEC because he sees what LSU has done in developing Joe Burrow and developing Jaden Daniels. He sees this is where he can come and get better. This is more about being prepared for the NFL. Michigan, now granted, other than J.J. McCarthy, they haven't been producing many top-rated quarterbacks to go into the NFL. So they were looking at this. This is what the message was we're coming to LSU. They've produced two Heisman Trophy winners. Come there, win some games, maybe win a championship, and then go to the NFL. Be ready to play so when you're in the NFL, you really can make the money. And it is really just a shame that this is the way it transpired for LSU. And, they were caught. I think they were
blindsided.
They were completely blindsided. I mean, you had every recruiting analyst in the world saying, don't worry about all this smoke coming out of Michigan about them offering or trying to pay a player to come $10 million. But I will say this, Mike. I know it's all about money. There's no doubt that's the thing. But if he was really looking at, if he got the notepad out and he did a pros versus cons, and I know this is a down year for Michigan, but the last 3 weeks have been really rough to watch with this program. It makes you start second thinking if you are a recruit.
And if the money's out there, because not everybody is Bryce Underwood.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
Not everybody is him. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DiTillo along with Jeff Palermo. We're at Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit. Got Jason here. So I know we're good today. he had been missing in action for a few weeks. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Dana Carvey and David Spade here.
You might know our podcast, Fly on the Wall, featuring guests from across the entertainment industry.
We decided to do a spinoff called Superfly, and it's fun. It's just two of us riffing on current events, pop culture, catching up, impressions.
Joe, Trump's trying to be a dictator.
Yeah, it's bump on the tater tots.
Joe, no.
Listen to and follow Superfly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
It is break. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike to take you along with Jeff Palermo. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road. And they do a great job of catering. So if you're wanting to have food catered, if it's for an LSU game or for the holidays you want to cook, hey, give them a call here. Jason will take care of you for all your catering needs here at Acme Oyster House. And, man, they will roll it. When LSU played Alabama, that was a big day for them. And so, again, if you don't want to cook, hey, let Acme Oyster House give that a shot, and you can give Jason a call. He'll take care of that for you. Final, Ohio State, 38-15. Oh, is that right? 38-15 over Indiana. And it looks as though it's got about a minute left. Florida just intercepted a Jackson Dart pass in the end zone. And Florida may be pulling off the second back-to-back upset and beating Ole Miss 24-17 with a minute 17 left in the football game, Jeff. So, man, you're in the battle when you play in the SEC. Hey, this ought to open eyes for LSU.
Yep.
Saying, hey, wait a minute now. You know that team that skunked us? They beat Alabama. And we playing them today. And that's what Vanderbilt did. They beat up Alabama in that football game.
And this for Lane Kiffin, a second loss for him when he's favored by 10 points this year. That's brutal. Now, it looks like Ole Miss is going to get the ball back one more time because Rebels just have another timeout. So they'll get the ball back, but they only got 70 seconds here, and they'll be deep in their own territory.
My thing about it is it goes to show you, people say, oh, next man up, which I never believe, because you got to tell me who the next man is. Ole Miss's offense has never run the same since Trey Harris went down with the injury.
Yeah, he was back here today.
For a little while.
Man, he had the ankle against LSU, and then he injured his groin against LSU, and he's still a semifinalist for the Biletnikoff.
That's unbelievable.
I mean, that just tells you how talented that guy is.
Did you do when he was quarterback in that combo?
Never did one of his games.
Him and Malik on the same
Malik
team.
Was
man, what? Somebody got to throw it to him. And man, you think about with Trey, he goes to Louisiana Tech, and I told one of the Tech coaches. Okay, he's learning how to play wide receiver because he played quarterback all his life. Man, you got something here because he's a great athlete. The one thing that jumped out was eye-hand coordination. He can make that time, that leap just right. Man, that's something Chris Hilton. He ought to be watching film on that. Chris Hilton, man, this is like 2 weeks in a row. Man, he missed times of jump so bad.
Yeah.
And then you got to listen to Coach Kelly. either that or you hear it in the back of your head with that. And listen, people make a big thing about that. You and I have done a lot of these.
Yeah.
And that happens all the time
right.
in games.
No, it does. I mean, the emotion is. I didn't like when – now, when Kyron Lacy came off the field and was screened, I didn't necessarily
– Now, that didn't surprise me either because I've been around Kyron quite some time.
He's an emotional guy.
Yeah,
we saw that. He got the unfortunate 15-yard penalty in the USC game. He does some things that – but I would say – when you look at this season as a whole, the receiving, I mean, there's been a lot of talk about the offensive line and a lot of talk about the defense and not being able to run the ball. But the wide receiver group, I mean, Aaron Anderson's been a huge surprise,
really
right?
Played well, yes.
But I think as a whole, it's been very underwhelming. Very underwhelming. I mean, Lacy's been okay. He hasn't been great.
I think CJ's injury has affected
yeah.
him because I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
I think he's a good player.
He's a good player. Xavion Thomas has been, he's out there. I mean, that's really what you could say about him. But it just hasn't – the chances that Shelton Sampson has gotten, he hasn't done anything. And
nothing.
I would say that is – another very disappointing thing because when you look ahead to next year,
now,
Mike.
Now, you covered him in high school.
Yes. Some had him on a 5-star wide receiver, and he's a guy that can make. In high school, he's a tall kid. He can win the 50-50 ball, and he had a game against Brother Martin at Tad Gormley Stadium in the playoffs. He scored 3 touchdowns in that game. He's a big time wide receiver. And the times that he's got a chance this year, he has done nothing. It looks like he's running the wrong routes. And when you look ahead to next year, and, you know, CJ Daniels is gone. And
Kyron's going to be gone.
I mean, Anderson's coming back. But that wide receiver room doesn't look very good.
I'll go find me a receiver in the transfer portal.
You better, because they don't it's not looking very good there.
And I got enough money to do it now. I got
yeah.
that Underwood
well.
Money, so I can go take care of business that way. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettay along with Herb. Almost said Herb. Herb's on vacation this week. He got bigger fish to fry than to do the pregame. So we wish Herb and all his family well. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. When we come back, we'll have on with us Zach Nagy, who's the publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettay along with Jeff Palermo. We're at Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit. It's got great food, drink specials. And again, if you're looking for tailgating needs or if you don't want to cook for the holidays, give them a call here at Acme. You can talk to Jason. Jason, take care of you. And, man, they've done a great job. A lot of repeat business back for them and all the catering. Great food here at Acme Oyster House. Before we go to Zach, it is official. Florida has pulled off the upset back-to-back weeks, 24-17. And Jackson Dart, he threw up a couple of lollipops there. Now, I think the receiver ran the wrong route on that last play. But how about Florida and Billy Napier? And I gotta give Billy a lot of credit because I thought that team might be DOA a couple weeks back, and he has fought his way through all of that. We're going to go now to our, Inside the Tiger Den segment, and it's brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Health System, totally focused on patient care. All tongue-tied today. Also want to wish the CEO of Thibodeau Regional Health System, Greg Stock, happy birthday today. So we're going to go to Zach Nagy, who covers the Tigers for Sports Illustrated. Zach, thanks so much for joining us, and I'll ask you, impressions, Florida. How about that, man? Digging themselves out of a hole and being able to upset Ole Miss, beat LSU last week.
Yeah, look, first of all, I appreciate you having me back on. And, look, I'm a Louisiana Lafayette grad, so I
covered Billy. Oh, you like Charlie Long.
I had the opportunity to kind of develop a little relationship with Billy. So to get the opportunity to watch him do this in the SEC is fantastic. Obviously, it's much deserved. He's battled through adversity week in and week out. Once they announced that he'd be back in 2025, looks like the entire team bought in. DJ Lagway's looking like an elite quarterback, and I'm happy for him. I couldn't be more ecstatic for Billy and the rest of the guys in Gainesville.
Also, the final running back. Man, that ball guy can run the ball. And Montrell's Johnson's back healthy. Jeff and I were talking about this. Remember, he was at De La Salle. Man, he was one hell of a back there. And he ended up kind of following Billy to Florida. So, man, congratulations to Billy Napier and the Florida Gators. Before we talk LSU Vanderbilt, your thoughts. So we talked Thursday night, you and I. Bryce Underwood had made the announcement that he was going to Michigan. We had been hearing rumors for weeks that the possibility of that to happen. The backdrop certainly is LSU hasn't played well. But to me, the deciding fact is dead presidents put on paper. Big time money. When you're talking about over $2 million for a high school kid a year, that's a lot of cash. And that's a little bit too much to turn down, especially when it's in your home state.
Yeah, it ultimately came down to money, in my opinion, of course. And when you get roughly north of $10.5 million over the span of 3 to 4 years, money talks, bottom line. And it obviously spoke to Underwood at the end of the day. There was a lot of buzz with him going on secret visits to Michigan on Tuesday and Wednesday, shadowing Sharon Moore and the rest of the coaching staff in Ann Arbor for 2 days. Ultimately, he decided to pull the trigger, flip his commitment, and make that announcement on Thursday. But at the end of the day, it's a business decision. We live in a landscape now where it's obviously a business, and these guys are deciding to kind of get the money, do what they need to do in that regard. Bryce Underwood made that decision. He'll head up to Ann Arbor. He'll put pen to paper on December 4th, and now LSU kind of shifts gears to hoping to keep the rest of this 2025 recruiting class intact.
Zach, Jeff and I were talking about this, that this is a tricky game today for LSU. Vanderbilt got nothing to lose here, okay? And before the season, everybody, oh, that's a W for LSU. But, man, the way Vanderbilt has played, they're feisty. They got some confidence. Now, again, they took a whipping last week by a team that's pretty hot, too, in South Carolina. And I still don't see how LSU won that game, but that's a story for another day. LSU better come focused in this game because, man, Vandy, and they are so well coached, so well organized. Jeff brought up the fact, I think, just 6 turnovers all year long for this team. LSU better buckle up the chin strap and get ready for a fight tonight.
Yeah, no doubt. You're looking at a team, like you said, that has nothing to lose. I think you hit the nail on the head there. They've already exceeded expectations, so now it's just trying to continue to carry the momentum week in and week out. And Diego Pavi is a fantastic dual-threat quarterback. He's a player that's going to give LSU problems. We've seen the Tigers struggle with Jalen Milroe, Lenora Sellers prior to him getting injured in that South Carolina. So there are always factors here that can favor Vanderbilt. And at the end of the day, they're smart with the football. They take time off the clock, and they can run the hell out of the thing. So you're going to have to watch out for Diego Pavia in every single aspect of the game. My eyes are going to be on Whit Weeks. How does he respond? Can he contain Diego Pavia? He was the lowest graded player last week at Florida. Now it's about him responding, getting back on track, and it's going to start with him having to contain a really, really good dual-threat quarterback in Pavia because he can do it all. He leads the team in rushing yards. He's doing it through the air as well. So he's fantastic. He's electrifying. He's fun to watch. LSU has their hands full in this one, of course.
Hey, Zach, Jeff Palermo, good to talk with you once again. What kind of game do you expect out of Garrett Nussmeier tonight? It's obviously been a rough go, the 6 turnovers against Alabama and A&M, and then last week sacked 7 times. Now, obviously not all of that was his fault, but he also certainly was making sure he was taking better care of the football, and that conservative play may have contributed to what LSU, as far as the sacks go last week. How do you see him responding here and against this Vanderbilt defense?
Yeah, I think it's the magic question, right? It's all about kind of him getting out of his own head. I think physically he's obviously a fantastic player, but he's going to have to get out of his head. He's going to have to let the game come to him a little bit more and not force things. And it also is going to come down to Joe Sloan's play calling while I'm at it as well. We've seen them kind of dial up those short and intermediate routes over the last 3 weeks. While you're riding this 3-game losing streak, over the last three games, his air yards per pass is only 3.3 yards, which ranks LSU 100th in college football. So they're not letting him air the ball out. They're not letting him do what his specialty is, and that's take the top off. So you're going to have to allow Nussmeier to do that. And then as well, when it comes to him as a player, he's going to have to extend plays, not sit back in the pocket. He's going to have to be smart and savvy. So for me, the question at hand is, how does he respond? I think this presents an opportunity for him to really click together, utilize his weapons, utilize Mason Taylor, because I think he needs to be more involved every single game. He's just your most reliable piece on offense. So I think Nussmeier is going to respond well tonight. They're playing against a team personnel-wise that doesn't have the weapons on defense that you might have seen in previous weeks, like A&M, Alabama, et cetera. So for me, I think you have an opportunity for Nussmeier to respond well. I'm excited to see how he comes out the gate, because if you can punch him in the mouth early, you'll put yourself in a good position. I look forward to seeing how he responds this week.
Zach, in doing a television show, we break down some stuff. And watching the film, one of the things Vanderbilt does, they are free-flowing defense. They run fast to the football. My thing with that is, and that's great, and I love their aggressiveness, and they make some big plays, but you can sort of pull yourself out of position doing that. I think LSU's got a shot in this game, especially with a screen pass. If you can fake the run, I think stuff over the middle, you can see where there's some openings there when you have a team that runs so quickly toward the football and they're trying to guess where that play's going to be. I think that's where you can catch them a little bit out of alignment, and a 7-yard play turns into a 70-yarder.
Yeah, I'm on the exact same page as you, Mike. When I look at it, obviously the rushing attack for LSU hasn't been up to the LSU standard. We've seen that week in and week out. But for me, it's about finding extensions of the run game, whether it's RPOs or hitting little checkdowns, screen passes, to get the ball to Caden Durham and allow him to turn it upfield and get into open space. So for me, it's about finding those extensions of the run game. We know this team cannot run block. It's not going to magically change overnight. It's just a matter of fact right now. They're struggling in that regard, and they've done it for 9-10 games now. So it's about finding extensions of the run game. And like you said, getting explosive plays with your playmakers over the middle. Vanderbilt's quick. They fall for the eye candy. They're not as well disciplined as I would say on defense, as you've seen in previous opponents like A&M and Alabama. If you have them fall for the eye candy early, get the ball to your playmakers in open space. Like you said, you get the ball to somebody and let them turn it up for a couple yards upfield. We can see that in Caden Durham, Aaron Anderson, Xavion Thomas, et cetera. You got speedsters, utilize your weapons. It'll put you in a good position against this Vanderbilt team.
Zach, as far as LSU defensively, we were talking a lot about Pavia and trying to settle him down. I mean, what do you make out of this defense as a whole? Obviously, it's gotten better. It's better than it was last year, but last week was very disappointing to see him continue to give up the big plays. You keep hearing, hey, they just don't have the talent back there. There's not enough talent. And I agree, there's certainly the defensive line is not where it needs to be, but there's still a bunch of 4-star guys out there. Sage Ryan is a borderline 5-star guy. It's not like there's a bunch of 3-star guys running around there on LSU's defense. It's just been – I know it's an improvement over last year, but I still feel like it's still a very disappointing unit.
Yeah, it's an improvement from last year, but I think the only way you could go is up, right, after just an abysmal season in 2023. So the only way you could go is up. I think Blake Baker is a defensive mastermind at the coordinator role. I think he's fantastic, and he's dialing up good schemes. We've just seen some trouble with kind of defending rushing quarterbacks. But when it comes down to it, personnel-wise, you don't have the talent that you would usually have at LSU. A lot of these guys, I'm not quite sure they'd go start at many other SEC teams. So personnel-wise, you're struggling. The defensive backfield, it's been abysmal at the safety position. Jordan Gilbert hasn't been that guy that you would expect for LSU. Major Burns as well, Sage Ryan as well. And I hate to be pessimistic, but it's just a matter of fact here. The guys just haven't been as successful as you would have liked them to be. You have two games left now. How do you respond? Jordan Gilbert's a talented player. Like you said, Sage Ryan was a borderline 5-star guy. Uber talented player. Major Burns, Louisiana native. End your career on a bang. So we're not going to sit here and talk bad about the safeties, but they just haven't been playing as well this season. It's about ending the year on the right note, and I'm hoping that we can see those trio of guys do just that.
Zach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Jeff. You have a good one.
All righty. That is a wrap on our Tiger Scout Notebook with Zach Nagy from Sports Illustrated, who covers the Tigers. And that segment is brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System, focused on the patient. We'll be back to finish it off here in our number one on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this break. Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettillo along with Jeff Palermo. We're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. We got great food, drink specials here, and also you want to watch the games, man, they surround all over the place, and so they got a number of games. Jeff, we just saw Texas go up and down the field on Kentucky. Man, that program has taken such a slide, and I think for a while A&M was after Stoops last year, and now he may be a guy that you better watch for the guillotine.
Hey, somebody's got to finish at the bottom, right? I mean, Kentucky and Mississippi State, this has been a very, very tough season, man. And in a conference like this, it's unrelenting, too. That's the other thing.
Yeah, and that former Kentucky guy that's coaching at Tulane right now, you better build the levee high. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show right after this news break.